President Trump's pick to head the Central Intelligence Agency, Gina Haspel, was grilled by the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday as part of the confirmation process. Haspel currently serves as the deputy director of the CIA. If she's confirmed, the career agent would be the first female director in the agency's history. But Haspel has been a controversial choice to lead the CIA for some. Following September 11th, she oversaw a secret facility in Thailand that used so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, including waterboarding and sleep deprivation. Our next guest is here to talk about Gina Haspel's roles within the CIA and the politics surrounding her potential appointment. Ian Hurd is an associate professor of political science and director of the International Studies Program at Northwestern University. He's the author of How to Do Things with International Law. Ian, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
That seems like a lot of yesterday's confirmation hearings. A lot of the talk here goes back to that, the waterboarding, the so-called enhanced interrogation techniques used by the CIA after 9/11. This is a legacy that we're going to be arguing about for a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. And it raises the issue of how the United States reckons with this past where torture was used against prisoners after 9/11. And there hasn't really been a full accounting for what happened and who did it and how to hold people accountable in this country.
Now let's talk about Gina Haspel. As a CIA agent, we kind of by the nature of the job, know every detail about her career. But what do we know coming into these confirmations?
Well, we know that she was in charge of this secret CIA prison in Thailand, and where torture and deaths happened of prisoners. And we also know that she was the one who drafted an order to the CIA to destroy videotapes of torture sessions. And so she has come to personify this American torture program in the early 2000s, and that's why her nomination is so controversial.
And the people arguing for her say we got valuable intelligence from the use of things like waterboarding. The tapes showed the faces of CIA agents. Could, if they were leaked, it could have put them at risk. That's what her supporters in the Senate and beyond have been saying. Is there something to those arguments?
Well, let's be clear. So the CIA has said that they didn't think any useful intelligence came from the torture sessions. So there's not really any evidence that it produced useful information. But it throws into a really big open question whether we expect the rule of law to obtain when it comes to how the U.S. treats its political prisoners.
And let's talk about international law and what the international community looks at when the United States, when these programs came out from the United States. What does that do for the United States in terms of the international community?
Well, under international law, torture is very clearly illegal. It's illegal by treaty, and it's also illegal as a peremptory norm of international law, which is to say it's a rule that everybody agrees should exist and that nobody is allowed to exempt themselves from. So there's a very clear, well-established law against torturing people that goes all the way back to Nuremberg. And there's really not any controversy about that. There's really nobody who suggests that it's a bad idea to outlaw torture. So that's extremely well established. International law doesn't have any mechanisms for enforcing the laws against people who might want to violate them. And I think that's why this becomes such a tricky issue in American domestic politics. It comes down to the question of, well, if what you want to do is against the law, what do you do? And one answer would be, well, maybe you don't do it. Another answer might be you change the law. But the third answer that the Bush administration took is you do it anyway, but you try to keep it secret or you try to make a case for why it's not breaking the law. So the law against torture is very clear in human rights law. There's really no controversy there. Here's a case where the government in the U.S. really wanted to torture people and to break the law, and now we're having to figure out how to deal with that aftermath. What do we do? How do we hold people accountable? There's the controversy.
Talking to Ian Hurd from Northwestern University about CIA Director nominee Gina Haspel. She had Senate Intelligence Committee hearings yesterday. I want to play one of the exchanges from that, one of the more tense ones. Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat from California, had this exchange with Haspel yesterday about Haspel's opinion now about the use of torture by CIA agents. Here's a listen.
Do you believe that the previous interrogation techniques were immoral?
Senator, I believe that CIA officers to whom you referred...
It's a yes or no answer. Do you believe the previous interrogation techniques were immoral? I'm not asking, do you believe they were legal? I'm asking, do you believe they were immoral?
Senator, I believe that CIA did extraordinary work to prevent another attack on this country, given the legal tools that we were authorized
to use. Please answer yes or no. Do you believe in hindsight that those techniques were immoral?
Senator, what I believe sitting here today is that I support the higher moral standard we have decided to hold ourselves to.
Can you please answer the question?
Senator, I think I've answered the question.
No, you've not. Do you believe the previous techniques, now armed with hindsight, do you believe they were immoral? Yes or no?
Senator, I believe that we should hold ourselves to the moral standard outlined in the Army Field Manual.
Okay, so I understand that you've not answered the question, but I'm going to move on.
What do you make of that exchange, Ian?
Well, it's really quite striking that Haspel is not willing to answer whether she thinks it's moral or not, since she approved it back when she was in the office and presumably thought it was the right thing to do. But in her confirmation, she's unwilling to stand up and either defend what she was doing or make what seems like a more sensible admission, which is that the kinds of behaviors we're talking about are clearly immoral. But there's an interesting gap here between legality and morality, or at least one can recognize that they operate on different criteria. We can look at the law and see that this is a clearly illegal set of practices. But we might use a different kind of judgment to think about whether it's moral or not. When we hear the descriptions of what we're really talking about, so chaining people to the wall naked for 56 hours at a time and leaving the lights on all night, this sort of thing, I think that it strains credulity to imagine that could be moral. But the play between what's legal and what's moral lead to two different kinds of conversations. But Haspel is really strikingly evasive in that answer.
One absence at these hearings, Senator John McCain, who, of course, survived torture himself, captured during the Vietnam War. He did tweet last night, however, quoting here, "I believe Gina Haspel is a patriot who loves our country and has devoted her professional life to its service and defense. However, her role in overseeing the use of torture is disturbing, and her refusal to acknowledge torture's immorality is disqualifying." End of the quote there. What impact does Senator McCain have when he says something like that? And what impact does his absence as a strong voice on issues of torture have on this committee hearing?
Yeah, he carries a lot of weight on the subject, both because of his personal experience and because of his long role in the Senate. I think he raises a very clear question about what the United States is, in a sense. So he seems to be saying that he doesn't want to live in a country where the government tortures its political opponents, and that he sees that as a very fundamental commitment. He's not willing to promote somebody into a job like this who doesn't agree with that basic premise. I think that's a pretty straightforward and simple position that sets aside any question about law or accountability or crimes and gets down to the basic issue of what does it mean to live in this country. And for McCain, it seems torturing political prisoners is not something that is reconcilable with the United States as he understands it.
We're talking to Ian Hurd now, Associate Professor of Political Science and Director of the International Studies Program at Northwestern University. With us to talk about Gina Haspel, President Trump's pick to head the CIA. She's been a controversial pick given her role in the CIA's what they called enhanced interrogation programs following September 11th. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should Gina Haspel be confirmed? Do you think we've resolved this debate over waterboarding? Do you think it could come back? Do you think it should come back as a tactic? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
If I am confirmed as director, you have my solemn commitment that I will position this agency to provide the intelligence support our country needs to meet the challenges of today and those of tomorrow.
We're hearing the opening statement there from current CIA Deputy Director Gina Haspel in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday. She is President Trump's pick to take over that agency. She's facing criticism over her role in the CIA in the past and the Bureau's use of torture. Our guest is Ian Hurd, Associate Professor of Political Science and Director of the International Studies Program at Northwestern University. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Should Gina Haspel be confirmed as the new director of the CIA? What do you make of her history? What did you think of that confirmation hearing yesterday and the use of waterboarding in the past and maybe in the future? President Trump has spoken favorably of it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. To your calls now, Jim is with us in Saukville. Jim, hi.
Hey, good afternoon.
What do you think?
I think she should not be confirmed. The way she answered her questions yesterday, it makes it very clear that she does not view what she did as immoral or wrong.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. And Ian, she seemed to say she would, she said what Jim said there, but also that she would not do things in the future like waterboarding, if I heard her correctly, if she were confirmed. Is that good enough?
Well, I'm not sure she ever really said that. And she certainly never accounted for why she would be comfortable with torture in practice in the past, but suddenly now in the confirmation decide that she's not comfortable with it. So it left more questions unanswered. And it felt a little bit like she had one story when she was reading the script that someone had prepared for her and a very different way of talking when she was off on her own. So it left me a little worried.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We heard from Paul in Rice Lake. He says, why refer to the prisoners at these detention centers as political prisoners, as you did earlier, Ian, rather than as terrorists or suspected terrorists?
Well, they were in prison because the American government decided that it had some thought that they were against the United States. And that seems to me to be pretty much the very definition of a political prisoner. Remember, these people were never criminal defendants. They were never tried for things. Most of them had never even had charges presented to them. So these are people who were essentially plucked off the streets around the world and made to disappear into secret American prisons. That sounds to me very much like what you would describe as a political prisoner if we were talking about, let's say, a South American dictatorship or the gulags or any other secret prison system.
The argument from some anyway at the time was these aren't exactly criminal suspects. They're not exactly members of an enemy army, but they're people who we know, the American government at the time, have taken action to harm American citizens. They're maybe we don't have the right definition for them, but they're something other than simply political prisoners.
Well, that's not quite right either, since many of these people were picked up when the Americans didn't really know who they were, but they just thought that because they had some association with somebody the Americans were looking for, they might be people that should be taken this way. And certainly none of that evidence against any of these people has ever been made public. So I think back to John McCain, it's a question of how much power are you willing to give to the United States secret sort of agencies like the CIA and give it to them on faith. That is, allow them the power to abduct people around the world and torture them, disappear them, without them ever having to explain it. For McCain, it seems quite clear that he's not willing to give the U.S. government that much power without asking for an accounting and things done in public in a democratic way. It seems like McCain is onto something there.
What are you watching for in the future of the CIA? It seems like over the years, over the decades, something comes out about what the CIA has done around the world in different situations. There's pushback, new limits put on, something new happens 5 or 10 years later. What are you watching for now?
Well, I think the real key may be in Congress. So, you know, the secret intelligence agencies like the CIA will always want to do their things in secret and not be held accountable. The American legal and political system sets up Congress as the oversight over those secret operations. And it's been a while now since we've seen Congress do that role with any effectiveness. What I would like to see is more activism in Congress to hold accountable these secret agencies, accepting that there may be some reasons why secrecy is necessary, but Congress should be doing the accounting. And that's one reason why I think these Senate hearings are so useful on Haspel. They raise the question in public of how the American people feel about the torture that was done in their name to people who, as we've said, were never charged with crimes and probably never will be charged with crimes, so they're not criminal suspects. So I think that public accountability needs to come from Congress. It's a little tough these days to imagine that happening, but that's my hope.
We'll leave it there for now. Ian, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Ian Hurd, Associate Professor of Political Science and Director of the International Studies Program at Northwestern University. He's the author of How to Do Things with International Law. He was with us today to talk about President Trump's pick to lead the Central Intelligence Agency, that's Gina Haspel, her history with the agency, including controversies surrounding the use of torture on terrorism suspects following September 11th during her tenure at a site in Thailand.